This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown Mercer County. Touchdown Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that began way back in 1979. And speaking of the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios, by the way, the Colonel is selling good old-fashioned live estate auction this morning, just a short distance north of New Boston. And I'll teach you something today. The term colonel is the honorary title given to auctioneers during the Civil War. Colonels were commissioned by the military to sell surplus military and government items confiscated from the Confederate soldiers. And military, I'm teaching you something. Again, the colonel selling good old-fashioned live estate auction this morning, just a short distance north of New Boston.
Wait a minute. You're not teaching us anything. Dale told us that. Come on, man. Anyway, that's Dale Jones.
Right.
That WRMJ alum, Dale
He's
Jones.
Still
the Colonel.
That's
the
right.
Colonel.
And that's something like Jack Buck would say on the old St. Louis Cardinal baseball broadcast when he was running the board back in the 80s for WRMJ. All right. Can we start with like a tip of the cap or
yes.
a pat on the back
this
morning? By the way, before I get into Dustin Murray being the I'll call him the Brian Dennison Athletic Director of the Year.
Yeah, that's a good name for it.
And, of course, Brian Dennison would tip his cap to, may he rest in peace, one of the funniest guys. And I think about Brian Dennison a lot, by the way, when funny things happen in games. But Dustin Murray creating that traveling trophy is, he deserves like, what, 3 stars, 4 stars, five stars,
five-star recruit. Yeah.
That's right. So I love that. I loved the Rockridge School District put the trophy in the broadcast booth last night. And you could tell the Rocket kids, it was awesome when they won it. And that's going to be a neat tradition at the center of the field, getting that trophy. So well done, Dustin Murray, for creating that trophy. I thought it was funny, though. Coach Graves said, is there a crack, like, on the Rockridge helmet?
Yeah, so the helmet's
like,
on
But I'll
the,
take the win over the crack
right,
of the helmet
the
any
helmets
day.
Are colliding on the trophy, and there's a crack on the Rockridge helmet, but not the Mercer County helmet. So I told Coach Graves, and I'm like, you guys just need to scratch off the entire Mercer County helmet when you bring it back for the game next year. But I agree with you. You know, Coach Murray kind of was the head of getting that traveling trophy together, so he deserves a lot of credit. It definitely added to the game. Like you said, the post-game, you know, kind of presenting ceremony was pretty cool where they gave it to the Rockridge kids. Like you said, they were really excited to get the trophy. And just last night overall, the game was such a great atmosphere, of course, with just the proximity between the schools, how long it's been since Mercer County and Rockridge have played. It was great. And yeah, Coach Murray deserves a lot of credit. Like you said, Brock Boehner, the Rockridge AD, too. Just everybody involved putting that together, A-plus job making the game feel as big as it should. So way to go. And Coach Murray said he's listening on the way to Iowa City today, by the way, too.
All right. Were you able to hear Glenn Cook? I heard you make one comment. Did he have his A material, B material, C material, or D-plus
last night? He did a great job last night. He stopped in our broadcast booth, and then he made you know how he always makes an announcement over the PA about, you know, how great WRMJ is, which he's right, of course, when he does that. But he was talking about me, you know, he's called me by the right name, but then he was talking about Monty, and he referred to Monty as Lucas's son, Robert. It's Lucas's brother, Monty.
He didn't take his extra pill last night.
No, we thought that was so funny. So, yeah, it was great. And then the great part, too, is when he did the initial announcement, like 10 minutes before the game, you know, it's like, all right, and we want to welcome our old friends from Aledo, the Mercer County. And then he had to stop himself, and then he said Golden Eagles, and he kept saying Green Dragons on accident. So I guess old habits die hard, but it was great seeing Mercer County playing over in Edgington last night. It was a great night, perfect weather, and just a great atmosphere surrounding the game that Rock Ridge kind of dominated. But it was a great night of high school football. What interscholastic athletics are all about is what last night was.
Amen. And another tip of the cap this morning, because Friday nights I'm normally broadcasting another game. It was great to stay home and listen to. Last night was, to me, reminded me of when I first started at WRMJ, where like Rock Ridge, Aledo, Sherrard, Aledo, that's the only game we would do. There weren't digital platforms where we could do games, so most of the time I was back at the station or back home listening to John Hoshite and Chuck Clawson broadcasting the games, and it felt like that last night. And where we live in Aledo, I was on the south side, and it was so hilarious. I was walking, listening to the game, exercising, and I'm getting home, and there's a dude driving down, because it's kind of dark, and he's in his side-by-side, and he's got WRMJ blaring, listening to the Rock Ridge Mercer County game. I
Amen.
Thought that was so awesome, and I know that's prevalent everywhere. I think one of your friends is at Brookstone said they were listening to the games there. That's what it's all about with small market radio. There's something, I know the digital platform is cool, right, and being able to get the app, but me, it will always be tuning in, you know, the old-fashioned way on the radio dial, 102.3 FM. That's why it's always different. I think when the game's really on the radio, that's the best way. The other tip of the cap, man, I tell you, and I don't get to listen that often, but I am just, and I mean this sincerely, Monty Smith is really good.
Awesome. He's
great. I mean, for doing it for such a short time, I love listening to his terminology, strategy, things of that nature. Excellent. But I'll always say I like Lucas better than Monty. And one of the main reasons, not because of Lucas, but because of Lucas's wife. Here's a did you know.
Yep.
Brooke was one of Ty's babysitters after he was born. Did you know that?
Absolutely.
So there's the connection. That's why I like Lucas better than Monty. But Monty Smith is good.
Yep. And Rusty does a great job, too.
So the broadcast was top-notch. Another tip of the cap, this station is home to the state's top play-by-play broadcaster, Ty Taylor.
Yeah.
And you could feel it last night with kind of that game and the rivalry. It all added up. I thought a great broadcast. And I just, you know, I was looking at the game as I was listening to the game, and I thought just like the keys of where the game could have changed, where I think if Rock Ridge scored on that opening drive, I think that may have been, you know, a continuous clock type of game.
I'll go even a step further. If Rock Ridge doesn't fumble on their first drive, they're up by 40 at halftime. I truly believe that, because they were just, I mean, they were owning Mercer County. And the Golden Eagles were lucky that, and I know there was a play where John Baldwin stepped out of bounds where he should have scored a 98-yard touchdown. But if Rock Ridge does not fumble at the 1-yard line on their first drive, I truly believe they're up 40 at halftime in that game.
Well,
they just, I mean, like I said, I don't know the right way to describe it, but they were way better last night.
Well, and the stats in the end didn't lie. But if, like you said, John, because I thought that was the other key play, if he scores, maybe that changes the dynamic of that game a little bit, because Rock Ridge was racking up yards but didn't have any points. And then I thought when Coach Graves, and I think Monty Smith brought it up during the broadcast, what was it, at their own 30 where it's a scoreless game? And I'm like, this kind of has the feeling of Newman, where you feel we're moving the ball but we're not scoring points, so we're at this point of the game. I thought that was a key play. And then the other thing is when turnovers happen. So the turnover, and you said it on the broadcast, hey, just take a knee, go into the locker room. It's a 2-score differential. You get the ball to start the third quarter. Well, they turn the ball over. Rockets score, go up 3 scores at the break. And then what was it, the second snap of the third quarter, you lose the possession of the kickoff. And I thought the game was decided really
the
right
game
there.
Was over when Mercer County turned it over late in the second quarter, because like I said on the broadcast, with the way they'd been playing offensively, there was no way they were going to go, you know, 85 yards in 55 seconds. It just wasn't going to happen. And the first play they ran probably should have been intercepted. It was a throw to nowhere that Baylen Lehman should have probably, not should have, but he had a chance to pick it off if he could have dove and made the catch. And then the next play, they run a pass play that in all night, Rock Ridge just had their way, you know, rushing the pass, or they got to Baldwin, stripped him on the sack. And then, you know, you give up the ball at the 11-yard line and Rock Ridge cashes in. And again, you know, last night for Mercer County was kind of everything that's plagued them all year. Four turnovers, which they've turned over two or more times every week, and then, you know, just disastrous on special teams again. You give up a block punt, you know, really bad issues returning kicks again. I think I said on the broadcast, they just keep, and I don't mean to be negative, but I just don't understand the reverse or the fake reverse. It hasn't worked once, and they do it every time. And all that happens, this is what happens. They get it, and they run sideways and get tackled to the 15 every time. I just don't get it. And like last night, they finally in the second half, they're like, they just fielded it and ran forward and started at like the 40 instead. I mean, that's what, 25 yards of a difference? I mean, I just don't get it. And you can't do that against good teams. They tried it against Newman last week and it got blown up every time. Against Rock Ridge last night, they tried it, got blown up every time. Just stop doing it. There's no reason to do it. I'm sorry.
All right.
There is
this. I was texting. Is John Hoshite listening this morning? 309-582-5626. You sounded a little bit like John Hoshite with that, because he got frustrated with special teams, too. So, it's a magnitude of things. And I think, you know, Coach Matlick said on the post game last night that they lost, you know, all three phases of the game last night. And it's clearly they did when you saw the numbers. And, you know, I think the one thing, and it was interesting with Coach Graves at halftime talking to
Real
Rusty.
Quick, and I'm not saying that to the kids. It's not the kids' fault. It's not on the kids. I mean, they're, you know, they can only do what they're supposed to do, right? So I, you know, but again, I just, to me, that is something that needs to be thrown up and burnt and put in the trash, because it just doesn't work.
All right, so I was talking, but Coach Graves was talking to Rusty going in at halftime, and I think he... did they talk to him coming out of the locker room or going in?
They talked to Coach Graves going in and Coach Matlick coming out.
And I think Coach Graves said to Rusty Dunn, or maybe he said it to you on the post game, about they felt they should have been up 40 maybe at halftime. And I think he was disappointed in the turnovers. And he's a coach. He's always looking at things that are correctable. But the one thing that I think from a Rock Ridge standpoint, covering them all year, I feel really good about going into next week now. And I think, you know, to Monmouth-Roseville, they just won the game last night. I think, you know, you look at the half, was it 7-0 at halftime with Spring Valley Hall? There has to be a little hangover coming off some of these big games that they're having, and it could have been a letdown. And I think they know what the Rockets present. But the way the Rockets ran the ball last night, Coach Graves had to be really pleased with that, because the way you described it with Freiermuth and Agent Zero, Tommy Sowards, and then Colin Schweigen had another big game, is they got, I think, what is Monty Smith? I love how does he call them chunk plays? Is that what he says? So I'm going to start using that. So they got chunk plays on the ground last night, where it was basically a 5, a 6, a 7 yard pickup, and they haven't done that a lot this year.
No.
So what'd you think of the run game last night?
I mean, they 326 rushing yards for Rock Ridge, 443 yards of total offense. I mean, like I said, I thought coming in, Mercer County had an advantage up front. But, I mean, they, like I said earlier, they just got bulldozed by Rock Ridge all night. And I think for Rock Ridge is a good sign. Last week they had success on the ground, but it was against an Orion defense that has struggled against the run all year, of course. But Mercer County, by and large, has been good against the run, I think, this season on defense for the most part. But, yeah, last night, I mean, it was just Rock Ridge got downhill. And Schweigen, he's just, you know, he's just so good.
And
especially as a runner. He runs a lot stronger than you'd think, kind of with his build. He's kind of a tall, slider guy. But, man, like you mentioned that 4th-and-2 from the 30-yard line that Rock Ridge went on their own side of the field. And that play, Schweigen got wrapped up at the line of scrimmage with his back to the line. And he was able to backpedal for like 7 yards with a defender on him to get the first down and you know, stop Mercer County from taking over at Rock Ridge's own 30. So, yeah, and then, I mean, like you said, here are the numbers. Schweigen, 132 rushing yards, two touchdowns. Thomas Sowards, 124 yards and a touchdown. Freiermuth, 70 yards on the ground, too. So it was just a night where Rock Ridge kind of got everything they wanted running the ball. Schweigen ended passing 11 of 21 for 117 yards and a touchdown. And this is the first time I've seen him this year, and he was really good last year. But, man, he is a lot better this year. And just he is so – I'm trying to think of the right word to use, but he's just so patient maybe is the word.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they check down their receivers
never,
all the time.
He's never, like, out of control. He's – even when he gets out of the pocket – it's like you can see the game is slower for him than everybody else because he slows down. He made a couple of great passes on the run last night that went for big plays for Rock Ridge. So, I mean, that's the one advantage they'll always have is they have a great quarterback that, you know, you feel confident when he has the ball in his hands, whether he's running it or throwing it, that he's going to make the right decision. So Rock Ridge last night, even in a game that they didn't play all that well, again, three turnovers and eight penalties, they really impressed me, and like I said, you know, there was no question who the better team was last night. And I honestly thought coming in that was a pretty even matchup in terms of talent. But, you know, Rock Ridge, for whatever reason, just kind of had their way. And I think, too, a lot of credit goes to Coach Graves and his staff. Rock Ridge is extremely well coached, and they always are, and they were, you know, ready for Mercer County for sure. I think Coach Graves now in nine seasons is, I think it's 72-24.
Yeah.
And they've had 10-plus win seasons three times with him in those 9 years. And he's been in the playoffs all 9 years. And a lot of times they're making runs where they're winning games. So Rock Ridge is very well coached. And their staff did a really, really, really good job last night, I think. Because, again, I think the talent on the field, the disparity wasn't that big.
And I was going to ask you, too, and I don't know if Coach – because I didn't hear Coach Graves mention this. But the one thing that was a little concerning for me last night, you mentioned Nicholson got hurt late in the game. And then Freiermuth didn't finish the game. Do you know, was there much of a, were those just, you know, we have this game in control, we're just going to sub them out?
So,
or is it something to be concerned about because everybody's got a thin roster?
I think Nicholson could have come back in. He was cramping, but I think it was at the point where the game was kind of out of reach, so they didn't want to rush him back in. For Freiermuth, he had ice on his knee.
It's not a good
and
sign.
And they were working on his knee, and then he was limping around again, though he wasn't going to come back in because the game was decided. But that'll be the one to follow is Freiermuth because he wasn't moving very well, and it wasn't a cramp because it was his knee. So I think Nicholson will be fine because, again, it was just they were stretching him out. I think he was cramping, and he was going through a couple of, like, you know, lineman-type drills on the sideline with their trainer moving, and he looked good, but they didn't bring him back in because of the score.
All right, the other kid I wanted to mention, and I mentioned him a lot the week before when the Rockets played Orion, and I heard you mention his name a lot last night. I tell you, man, the one kid that has really become a weapon for the Rockets defensively is Liam Steele.
Yeah, man, he was good last night.
Oh, man, he gets in the middle of stuff, and then he's a nice kind of – you know, secret weapon that they have on offense with their kind of receiving core. They have a lot of good athletes. They rotate the different packages in there. So it was nice to hear his name again last night. And I think about, too, like last night, what it represents. And I feel bummed. You know, Ryan Lower didn't get a play in that game last night. And I'll get a play next year in Tanner Whitehall.
Yep.
You know, you because those kids, you know, especially like, you know, Ryan Lower has all the Alito connections with his, you know, family basically living in the Mercer County School District. So that's a big thing for the family to be a part of that. And could you imagine that motor running last night?
Yeah.
In
I know,
game,
man. And Tannen, too. I just feel so bad for him. I wish he could play. You know, he's moving better. He's got a boot on now, so he's off the crutches. And it was nice seeing him actually, like, walking around last night. But you're right. Him and Ryan Lower are such great athletes and great kids too, and it's just too bad because, again, kids like that are who you want to see in those games. And like you said with Ryan, and I said that to Coach Graves because I talked to him for probably about 20 minutes before the game last night when I got over there. That's what I said, as I'm like, I just am bummed about Ryan. Obviously, you know, we're related to him, but he's one of the more fun kids to watch because of how fast he is and how physical he is. That there aren't very many linebackers you see that play the way that Ryan does, so we'll be looking forward to seeing him back on the
field. He needs
next year
to bring the mullet back for his senior year.
He's
mullet
grow the hair back
2.0.
Up.
So the question begs now, where do we go from here? So I think the Rockets know that they have a, we talk about, you know, I've talked about it with Coach Graves before, you gotta get a quality win on the schedule. Yeah. And next week's an opportunity. Next week is a huge game, really looking forward to that matchup. But then, you know, I we were talking off the air, is next week's game a letdown for the Golden Eagles playing a powerhouse like Princeton because the Eagles coming off a rivalry game with Rock Ridge, and then it was kind of a walk in the park last night, of course, for Princeton with Mendota. So what do you think, you know, for both of these programs moving into next week?
Rock Ridge and Monmouth Roseville, I think, will be a great game. It'll be smash mouth, physical, two teams that you know, like to run the ball. Rock Ridge, you know, is strong against the run. The Rockets will give 13.5 points per game coming into the night last night, gave up six and basically a fourth quarter score that when the game was already out of reach, Mercer County got on the board. So I think next week will be a really good game. Like I said, I was impressed with Rock Ridge last night. Of course, Monmouth Roseville's an impressive all season. I would think Monmouth Roseville's a slight favorite getting to play at home in this game too next week, but I think, in my opinion, it'll be a one-score game. I really do. I think that's going to be a great game between two teams that I think are really good and two teams that have a chance to potentially, you know, have a pretty solid postseason run, hopefully.
Yeah, and then what about the Eagles?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
You got to find a way, man.
You know, I'll quote Jeremy Adolphson said this, I believe it was two seasons ago. We were broadcasting one of their games in week eight, and they had Princeton in week nine, and they were playing in week eight, and they had four losses. They were four, or whatever the record would have been, but they didn't have four losses, but the game would have been the fifth win. So they had four wins going into week eight, and they were playing either Orion or Sherrard, and then they played Princeton in week nine. And his quote was, because I asked him, I said, I mean, this game virtually, maybe you don't want to say to the kids, it's like your season, right? And he said, he goes, we don't sugarcoat things to our kids. He said, if we go into playing Princeton and we have lost to four teams that aren't Princeton, it's really hard to see a reality in which we beat the team that is Princeton. So he said, we've said to our kids all week, this is the season. And Mercer County's season was Erie Prophetstown, I think. And because Newman is really good, Rock Ridge is really good, and Princeton is better than both of those teams. So, and of course, with how last night went, how the last 3 weeks have went, and then after getting on the bus and going to a team, and I said this last night on our broadcast, we've talked about it throughout the year. Princeton, the teams that have eliminated them in the playoffs the past few years, and they've lost some games in the regular season, but they, at this time of the year, always have it going. They've lost to Byron twice, IC Catholic twice, Montini once.
Yeah.
And those have been competitive games against some of the best football programs in the state, no matter the classification, right? Yeah. And what Princeton does, and I said this last night too, is they're one of those teams that they've become, you know, kind of a juggernaut. And when they smell blood in the water, they step on your throat and they finish you. And they're going to be, well, a team next week that is looking to deliver the knockout punch probably early. And for Mercer County, I mean, they have to, this is something too with this game. For Mercer County to compete with Princeton, I've said this basically with every but one of our teams that has played Princeton this year, to beat them, you have to play perfect, and you have to still be lucky, too. I mean, the talent they have is just so much overwhelming to most of the teams in the league. So,
well, and they have 70 kids on their roster? Is that what it is?
70 kids, yeah.
All right, here's the other thing, too, that it's not a letdown game for Princeton. And you know why that is? Because you know where their head coach went to high school at?
Yeah.
He went to Stark County. So I know what Mercer County represents to Stark County kids, and he was part of that in the LTC when Mercer County was in that league. So this isn't a letdown game. This will not be a letdown game for Princeton next week with him as the coach. So it's a tall order, but you gotta find a way to get some breaks, whatever. I mean, that like you said last night going in, I thought it was an even kind of matchup. I thought maybe Rock Ridge, this light favorite, but the rivalry game it was, I thought, hey, the Eagles got a chance. And then I thought, you know, a couple of turnovers early in that game, I thought, oh, man, here the luck is aligning for the Golden Eagles, but the numbers don't lie as the game progressed.
Again, and when you look at Princeton, I mean, if you think the teams you've played so far have been good against the run, Princeton's better against the run on defense. And They have a kid who's a Division I player that's back. Noah Laporte caught 2 touchdown passes last night for the Tigers, who's missed some time with an injury. And up front, they're really strong. I mean, they just kind of maul people. They got beat by Monmouth Roseville, of course, so it's a team that isn't unbeatable by any stretch. I don't think they're as good as maybe the last 2 seasons that they've been, but this is still a team in Princeton that is very good. And it will be challenging for Mercer County. I think for the kids, you have to dig deep. And, you know, and I think even for the staff, too, because, again, Princeton is really well coached, right? Coach Pearson, I mean, look what he's done at that program. Because, you know, with the past 6 years with him, they've been so good. But you forget that before he was there, they were not a good program. So his staff does a great job. They have good talent. They have the buy-in with, you know, over 70 kids on their roster. And for Mercer County, I mean, like I said, you're going on a bus to Princeton, a team that is very good. And, you know, with 3 straight losses for Mercer County coming in, it's going to be hard, I think. And I hope they can hang in there and compete, but it's going to take a lot. It's going to take their best effort of the season to even stay in the game. So, I mean, I hope for those kids that they can hang around, but it will be tough. I know Mercer County, though, the one thing that you say when you watch them play, their kids play really hard. That's the positive, is those guys play as hard as they
can. That's what it's about.
Yep.
It's
so about the youngsters I have on the field. A ton of respect for the Mercer County kids. They play hard, and, you know, I don't know, obviously, maybe they, you know, but whatever the case is, the kids play hard. That's, you know, why we're all here, is for the kids. So I'm rooting for them next week, and I hope they can pull through, because like I said, they play really hard, and there are a lot of great kids that play for them. Great families. It's been fun to be around the kids and the families this year, because, you know, like it's always fun. You know, like I said that last year with Sherrard, I love the kids on the Mercer County team. I love their families. It's been nice to kind of get to know some of them more this year than in years past. So I'm really rooting for them next week, but it'll be tough, and I hope that they can, you know, put their best foot forward and take a swing at Princeton, even if they come up short, put their best foot forward and try and do all they can to hang around with them.
You want to talk about some of the other games, or what else you want to mention?
Yeah, let's talk.
So give me the description of the final game, the final play in the Orion Erie Prophetstown game. By the way, pretty cool. Cale Filler getting a visit at University of Illinois today. And you said one of the great kind of segues from that, they played Erie Prophetstown, and Prophetstown, of course, is Coach Bielema's alma mater. What a cool kind of segue for that. But so what happened at the end of that game last night?
So last night, Orion was trailing Erie Prophetstown in the third quarter 26-7. And, you know, like they have the past few weeks, they've rallied. Their kids play really hard, too, and they've battled, got back, got it to 26-22. And then Erie Prophetstown scored, and then Orion answered again with another touchdown. So it's 32-28, and Orion gets the ball at midfield down 4 with, I think, 2.5 minutes left, and the Chargers drive down the field. It's 4th and goal from the 4 with 11 seconds left, basically, you know, one play for the game, and Orion throws a pass that ends up being incomplete. They were, I think, looking for Owen Voorhees, and Coach Filler walks us through the play when we talked to him this morning. It was a play where it got rushed a little bit, where Erie Prophetstown got to the quarterback, so Cale had to throw it a little earlier than they wanted to. And he said it, like, hit off Voorhees' kind of, like, fingertips. He said it would have been an absolutely incredible catch if he brought it down, but he couldn't corral it, so it goes incomplete. Orion falls just short, 32-28, so they're now 1-6. But I think for them, I mean, and like I just said about the Mercer County kids, I have a ton of respect for the Mirco kids. I have a lot of respect for those Orion kids, who we talk about every week. I mean, they played so hard again last night, coming back after, you know, you're on a 5-game losing streak and you're down 3 scores in the third quarter, and they claw their way back into the game to give themselves a chance to win. Because when I saw that was going to be the last play in our, like, text chain last night, I thought they were winning. I said on our broadcast, I'm like, man, I hope they can get in on this play. Because Coach Filler, in our pregame interview with them coming into that game, he said something really funny, because he referenced the Vanderbilt upset of Alabama, how they took the they took the goalpost, and he's like, I told our kids on Monday, he's like, if we win this game, he's like, I'll give you the go ahead, you take their goalpost down and take it to the river. And then he said jokingly on the pregame too, he's like, right.
That would be the Rock River.
He goes, our 22 kids wouldn't be able to move that freaking goalpost. That's what he said. So, but he talks about it too. He's just proud of the effort. So you'll hear from Coach Filler coming up. But a tough loss for Orion last night.
Carter Brown returned last night.
So, yeah, Carter Brown played, which is great news. Sherrard got beat, though, 48-6. But, again, with Brown, I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were worried that he broke his leg, right? So he didn't. He was able to play. Kind of a miraculous recovery. But Kiwani is a team that just is kind of rolling right now. So that gives Sherrard its fifth loss, 48-6. And we talked with both Coach Johnston and Coach Filler this morning. Next week, Sherrard and Orion play. And it's two teams that win-loss-wise, the season hasn't gone how they've wanted. Man. But that'll be a game that will have a lot of meaning. They played a great game last year that Sherrard won in the final seconds. So I think that's a game that both teams...
That's always a well-attended game.
That game, there'll be a lot of people there, and both teams, I think, will get up to play for that game. It's similar to the Rockridge-Mercer County rivalry, I think. And Coach Filler even says that. He's like, I've always viewed Sherrard as our biggest rival just because of the proximity. So, yeah, it should be a great crowd for that game next week.
And then as far as you want to go over the rest of the scores kind of in the track in the area?
Yeah, so last night was the last week of divisional games. So the division champions were crowned. Newman beats Riverdale 35-7. So the Comets win the Rock Division Championship. Over on the Mississippi side, we went through the Sherrard-Kewaunee score. Monmouth-Roseville moves to 7-0 with a 35-14 win over Hall. We mentioned that earlier. The Titans win an outright conference championship in football for the first time in the Consolidated School District's history. So congratulations to Coach Adolphson and his group. Awesome accomplishment for them. They're 7-0 and a big test with they have Rockridge and Newman still, though, in weeks 8 and 9. So they have some tests before they get to the playoffs. And then Princeton crushed Mendota last night, 57-14. So crossover games to close the last 2 weeks of the regular season in the track. And I think right now there's a good chance that the conference sends 7 teams out of 12 to the playoffs. I think when you look at the teams that have already clinched their spot, Monmouth-Roseville is in, Princeton will be in, Newman will be in, and Rockridge will be in now with 5 wins. I think there's a path for Erie Provincetown to get to 5. They would get a 5th win if they can beat Mendota this week. Riverdale at 3-4 has, I think, games that are favorable against Hall and Sherrard to finish, which would get them to 5. Kewaunee has Newman and Orion to finish. I think Kewaunee definitely a favorite over Orion. They have 4 wins right now, so I think they have a chance to get in 2. And I think that would put us at 7 total, which would be awesome.
So I was looking at some other kind of scores from around the area.
And if Mercer County can go 2-0, the Golden Eagles have a chance to squeak in as well. So I don't want to say they're done yet either, because you got to play the game. So
And just some of the other scores from the area conference. I was surprised at kind of the margin with Farmington and Anawan-Weathersfield last night. Is Rashid back, do you know, for Anawan-Weathersfield yet?
I have no idea.
So it was an 8-6 game last night. Anawan-Weathersfield was 4-2. Farmington moves to 7-0 coming off of that game against Macomb last week. So Farmington 7-0, but a kind of a narrow margin of victory last night in a low-scoring game. And then Elmwood-Brimfield, are they 2A? Elmwood-Brimfield?
They will be, I think, yeah.
So they beat that nice win for them last night over Macomb, 31-28.
Yeah.
So they go to 6-1 on the season.
I don't know what to make of Elmwood-Brimfield-Macomb, really. It's weird because, like, Elmwood-Brimfield got just run off the field by Farmington, and Macomb took Farmington to overtime last week. And then they kind of flipped the script this week where Elmwood-Brimfield wins this game. So a nice win for them. And I was kind of puzzled by that Farmington score, too, just 8-6 over Anawan-Weathersfield. I kind of want to maybe learn more about that. And then also the big game in the small school division of the Lincoln Land. We talked about this on our pregame last night. If you want to talk about, like, Lincoln Trail Conference football, I bet that crowd at Princeville last night was awesome. Princeville
Is that where the game was at?
Princeville beat Stark County at home 33-23, I believe, was the final in a game that was two teams that were undefeated. So I assume that was just an awesome crowd over there for that game.
And then it's weird. I come in every Saturday morning, and I like to kind of peruse the IHSA score zone. And there's like some of these margins of victory in high school football are going absolutely bananas now with kind of the haves and have-nots. But I saw last night Knoxville scored 80 points. Did you see that against West Hancock?
Brian Stahl. And I was on the View from the West last night because Greg was at Rockridge, and he wanted to hear my take on it, I guess, too. But Stocking said that Knoxville in the second half scored 43 points. Like, they were trailing at halftime and then ended up winning.
They were down in that game? Yeah, they got 80 points?
He said they scored 43 at halftime. Oh, or in the second half, excuse me.
My goodness.
Yeah.
All right, and then did I see, I think South Fulton, they beat United. United's 0-7 now on the season?
Yeah.
Has there been much chatter about them looking at eight-man or not? I don't know what their number situation is.
I think we always say it. The reason they're still playing Love Man is because they beat Mercer County last year. I mean, and honestly, I think that's it, because that game was such a shocking result last year when United came to Alito and beat Mercer County in week one, that I think that kind of has kept them above playing 11-man. I don't know, though. I mean, they've kind of – their program really has – struggled in the past X amount of years. So I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard any discussions over there. We're not really over there. Maybe we'll have to ask Sean Temple about that when we see him. Yeah.
All right. You want me to go over the 2A top 10
scores
from last night? Moreau Forsyth scored 61 again last night. They beat Olympia 61-33. We mentioned Farmington ranked number two, a squeaker over Anawan Weathersfield, 8-6. Quincy Notre Dame beat Jacksonville 35-21. Now, a battle of unbeatens last night between Moments and Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin. Moments ranked fourth in state, but they were bruised by Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin 42-14.
They're the Blue Devils, right?
The Bismarck Henning and the Moments is the Redskins, right?
Yeah.
And and Sullivan last night played Nokomis, two schools that still go by the nickname moniker. So Moments number four, they lose to number six Bismarck Henning Rossville 42-14. Moments, though, a team that plays in the north half of 2A, usually Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin in the south half. Johnston City last night, this was kind of an interesting non-conference game. Johnston City in the southern portion of Illinois ranked fifth. They played Dixon, who is having a great year. They're ranked number two in 4A in the big showdown game right next week with the Byron Tigers.
That'll be awesome.
So Dixon, Ronald Reagan's alma mater, they win last night over Johnston City 40-14, but they have a tall order taking on Byron next week. But that, no doubt, the top game in the state next week. We mentioned Bismarck Henning, Rossville Alvin ranked sixth with the win over fourth-ranked Moments. It was Tri-Valley beating Ridgeview Lexington 42-13 last night. Tri-Valley ranked seventh. We did the game last year at Ridgeview Lexington with Rock Ridge. Chester ranked eighth. They're in the southern portion of the state. They beat Dupo 48-14. Arthur A. Lovington, that's for you, Terry Bewley. May you rest in peace. By the way, lost another great WMJ loyal listener last week. That's Mr. Bob Vickery. Always saw him walking across the street. He'd always say, "Hey, Scoop." And actually, the first apartment I ever lived in Alito, Illinois, 207 and a half South College Avenue, above the Vickery Agency.
Awesome.
Rest in peace, Bob Vickery. Great listener, a great friend of the station. Arthur A. Lovington, Atwood Hammond. No, that's Terry Bewley who called him that. Arthur Lovington, Atwood Hammond, 62-7 over Sarah Gordo, Bement. By the way, I still want to get together and do something. We need to do this, people. So somebody organize it. I want to have an event. Because they did not have services for Terry Bewley, but I want to get together at a local establishment and have a toast for Terry Bewley. So somebody organize that. We'll announce what night it is. Yeah. We'll be over there, and we can all have a toast, and we can all say something funny about Terry Bewley. Who wants to do that?
Yeah, me.
Hit me up, 309-582-6027. Okay. Let's organize something. All right, 10th in the state out of the NUIC, Eastland Pearl City. They lost to Lee Wynn last night. Of course, Lee Wynn ranked two in state, 35-18.
They were leading for a while in that game.
Yeah, I saw in the first half. Now, Wilmington likely could be maybe 2A. They're ranked number two right now in 3A.
Coach Murray just texted me. He said he's in for the Terry Bewley toast.
Okay.
So.
All right. Good. And again, the funny thing when I wanted to mention about Dustin Murray, I'll go over some of these scores again, why when I said Brian Dennison, athletic director of the year, because I know they were really good friends, and the late Brian Dennison, a good dude, and I'll never forget one of the great posts Brian Dennison had on his Facebook page. And one of the things I miss most about Brian Dennison is the random text you would get, like funny observations about something, whatever. And when you played for Mirko in, 2014, 2015, or whatever it was, you guys got those, like, really tight jersey fits, the new jerseys.
Yeah, that was my senior year. Yeah, 2015.
Well, he had Coach Murray try.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember that. It was super tight, and Murray was the good sport and put it on. But anyway, rest in peace, Brian Dennison, good dude.
Real quick, before we get to 3A, Monty was telling me this last night, and he said, and I've kind of noticed this too, there are four teams that were ranked in this week's 3A poll that look potential like they could likely be 2A teams when it comes to the playoffs. That's talking about Wilmington, who of course is a defending state champion, Seneca, Paxton, Buckley, Loda, and then I believe Eureka was the other one who could potentially drop into 2A.
Okay, so Wilmington last night beat number 7 Coal City in 4A, 21-14.
Yeah.
Paxton, Buckley, Loda last night got shut out by Coach Welter in Monticello, 33-0. I did see that score. I didn't see how Eureka went. But just a couple of Bloomington Central Catholic, they beat IVC last night. They're not ranked right now, but their record is deceiving with the schedule they play. 49-28. I mentioned this earlier this week. Darren Blazer, who just got married a couple of weeks ago, an Aledo grad, he's on the Breeze Central staff, and they're ranked number 1 in 4A. I saw they had a big showdown game with the Roxana Shells last night, who they beat 35-6. Camp Point Central, coached by Brad Dixon, they continue to roll. They beat Triopia, Meridosha, Chambersburg 56-0. Now, here's something weird, too, that I wanted to share with our listening audience. For some reason, I follow this Facebook page, the Western Illinois Valley Conference.
Yeah, they do a good job.
Well, but some people get cantankerous on that thing, and I mean, it always defaults to somebody get mad. These rival schools. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with Camp Point Central last night, but there was a game between, I think it was Greenfield Northwestern and Calhoun, and I can't remember what it was, but the visiting school was there, and they bring a flag onto the field with them. Well, they've been doing, even when they've been on the road, they take the flag and stick it in the logo at the 50. And there's this big, like, of course, social media, Facebook argument. And I'm trying to, like, make heads nor tails of it. But I guess then a parent
Mercer County
or
should have done that if they won last night.
I guess, like, a parent or somebody or an adult, of course, ruining it for everybody, got mad about it and apparently, like, pushed one of the kids or something. Allegedly, this is happening.
Here's what I'll say. If you are an adult, no matter what your role is, you should never put your hand on a kid who's playing high school football.
We shouldn't even have to say that.
Whatever, whether you're a coach or a parent or whatever, if you put your hand on a high school kid who's playing football, you need to figure it out. So that's unacceptable.
Man, you have a lot of opinions today.
Well, I don't think that's an opinion. That's
all
like
right,
a fact
just remember again.
Push a 17-year-old.
I agree. Again, we're at the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios on Sportsline, and I want to remind everyone the Colonel is selling good old fashioned live estate auction this morning, just a short distance north of New Boston. Also, pat on the back. Ty Taylor, I said, gets the state's top play by play award, and I wanted to share this about kind of what local radio means, and I saw some of the great comments on Facebook. Well, I was getting a takeout order this week at Ferg's in downtown Aledo, and I love all our local businesses. And by the way, we're going to go to we're going to get breakfast with our buddy at Midtown.
Real quick, let me cut you off because okay. Coach Murray, I think he has a great idea.
Okay,
he said the Terry Buehler thing. He said. We should do it while we paint the football field. Don't you
okay.
think that's a good idea?
Oh, that would be a great idea,
Yeah, so I don't know when they're going to do
and
that.
And then we can do like a modified cookout at the pavilion up at Fenton Park.
For the Week 9 game, but then Morgan Brott texted me and Coach Murray in a group chat, and he said that he's wearing his field painting shorts with paint all over them right now in honor of Buehler, if we want to get together and do that.
Hey, I mean, he would love that, man.
Right. So anyway,
And then somebody needs to bring us like a poorly handwritten, like scribbled bracket of 2A football.
Yeah, like today though, right?
Yeah.
He was the best at speculating that. He was the best. I remember Terry Tracy told a great story. It was 2 years ago. Terry was like at a junior high girls basketball game running the scoreboard. And he said like before the first half was over, I think he had what 5 missed calls from Buehler. Terry shook his head and said yes. It was the day of the playoffs pairings being revealed. That is just he was the best, man.
Well, he was the best. And the other thing, let's be honest, we take for granted what he did at that field,
yep.
And we know what work. What does it take 15 people to do it now? That dude did it himself, you know. So we don't thank people enough like that that are walking planet Earth when they're here.
I
want to have a thing where we can do that at the field. But I want to go to some establishment when we have a toast and everybody has to say some Terry Bewley story. And I want Phyllis there.
Yeah,
I want Phyllis Bewley there. So we need to do that.
All right, is there anything else you want
to... I wanted to tell you again about local radio, what it is. So one of the great stories this week about the congratulations is Joe Vance was at Ferg's. And Joe, I'm going to teach you a history lesson here about sports in this town. Joe Vance was a great basketball player in the one-class system, and he listens all the time. 5'9", point guard. That was the year in the one-class system. The Aledo Green Dragons went all the way to the Sweet 16, and they lose in the Sweet 16 to Rockford Auburn that had an illegal player by Jasper Robinson, or the Aledo Green Dragons in 1964 would have went to the state tournament in one-class basketball. But Joe Vance, because of personal circumstances, was a junior. Something happened in his life. I'm not going to get into that. But he had to drop out of school and did not get to play his senior year at Aledo. And he told this story that was so personal. He's crying when he's telling me the story. And he was playing in a rec league, and his family came to see him. So he was playing basically in a men's adult rec league. But he was telling me how the radio station is so important to him because he listens all the time, and it connects him to his memories of the past when he played. And I thought that was so awesome because he was talking about you. And by the way, I'm mad that I forgot. They should have had, because last year should have been officially the 60-year celebration of that team in 2024. So they should have had I dropped the ball on that, or we all did. But they should have had a celebration for that team recognizing, I mean, what they accomplished in the one-class basketball system where it took a school that played an illegal player to beat them, or that team would have went to...
What year was that?
1964.
Greg Armstrong will absolutely love that you're talking about 1964 basketball today.
Well, there's a lot of stocking. People. There's a lot of people in this town that still vividly remember that. And have you broadcast from Wharton, right? So they have the great...
We're really off topic.
Okay,
now.
But they have one of the great pictures in their cafeteria room where the team eats. They have a panoramic picture of the jump ball of Aledo playing Rockford Auburn, 6,000 fans at that game watching that team play.
So.
But anyway, that brought up that memory for him because of the radio station, all because of Ty Taylor. And I know Kylie Henry is your agent officially, but Joe Vance said he would be your agent too. And then he also he said, I'd take your grandpa fishing because he loves the other compliment he gives. He's like, I love how you guys cover the IHSA bass fishing sectional.
So,
anyway. All right, what do we got coming up?
We got our head coaches today. We'll hear from Rockridge head coach Sam Grave, Sherrard head coach Brandon Johnson, and Orion head coach Chip Filler. So we weren't able to connect with Coach Malik this morning. Tried to reach out to him, didn't hear anything back. So we will not be talking to him this morning. For whatever reason, it's fine. He doesn't have to talk to us. That's okay. But I do want to say real quickly, Coach Johnson and Coach Filler are great to work with, and they are having years that have not been successful. 2-5 for Sherrard, 1-6 for Coach Filler. But every Saturday morning, every time I reach out to them, they answer on the first ring.
Well, and Coach Filler has been a great – And I know there, you know, it hasn't been easy times over there, but he's worked with us the same way when he had Logan Lee and they were drilling people, and he's worked he's responded to us the same way when they're whatever their record is this year. And Coach John, the guy I root for the most is personally, and I haven't covered Sherrard a lot with him, but what I love about Brandon Johnston is every Monday he sends out the stat update every Monday. So anyway, I mean I appreciate the help and covering the how they make it easy, I guess. So tip of the cap.
Yeah, they do a great job, and we appreciate how they work with us. So we'll hear from those three coaches, then we'll come back and wrap it up here after we hear from them. So we'll start with hearing from Rockridge head coach Sam Graves after the Rockets took
down the trophy
Mercer County Golden Eagles last night, 34-6. So we'll come back and hear from him, and then Coach Johnson, and then Coach Filler on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it, because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Who doesn't love new kicks? When you need new footwear, come to 6140 Run in Galesburg. They have just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Not sure? Grab a 6140 Run gift card. 6140 Run has the perfect fit for everyone. 6140 Run for the holidays, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, talking with head coach of the Rockridge Rockets, Sam Graves. Rockridge wins the County Line Clash in 2024, 34-6 on home field over Mercer County. We'll start there, Coach Graves. We ended talking with Coach Matlick just about, you know, what tonight's game meant to the coaching staffs, the kids on both teams, the kids at the schools, the communities, just a net positive. And like Coach Matlick said, no matter who won tonight, I think you could leave saying this is a game that should be played every year in high school football. And it was just high school athletics at its best tonight, I think, with the atmosphere. So I'm sure pretty fun for you getting this game back on the schedule, too.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I know a lot of people in the both communities were excited about this. Starting the week, our coaching staff was a little concerned with our guys kind of just him-hawing and going through the motions of another week. And I'm like, holy cow, I don't know if they understand how much some people are excited about this, and then we're just kind of going through emotions here. So, but the kids came out and responded tonight. They did a good job, and you just love to see, you know, I know it was a big night for us. We had the youth cheer night, so a lot of kids signed up for that, and that was great to see when you have youth participation in whatever is here. That's what you want to see, is people be involved. So it helped bring us in a nice crowd.
Well, something that you talked about before we started rolling here after the game is you said it's good to see us get the run game going. I know last week against Orion, you put a pretty good output out against an Orion defense that has struggled this season. But Mercer County has been solid all year defensively. You end up with 443 yards of total offense, but 326 yards rushing, 132 from Colin Schweigen, 124 from Thomas Howard, and 70 from Jacob Freiermuth. So what do you think the difference was having that type of success, probably your best game running the ball all season long? So what led to being able to kind of control it on the ground tonight?
You know, good job by the guys up front. I think this is something we've been challenging them to do all year, and have been, you know, frustrated with some of the results on the field all year and up and down swings. And I don't think it's any secret to say it hasn't gelled and looked right since, you know, way back in week two in that first quarter game when Ryan Lower went down against Princeton. It just hasn't looked right up front, and we've been trying different pieces, moving guys around, and I'm guessing we went tonight with our fifth different offensive line combination since that week. So just trying to find the right thing. They did, of course, you'll never know for sure until you see that film this weekend, and on Monday we'll watch it with the kids. But yeah, proud of the way we answered up front, running the ball, because I everybody talks about the talent of our receivers, but I think Mercer County kind of is the same as us. You can talk about receivers, some of the speed you got out there, whatever, but you have to run the ball first, even though you're in spread, to then pop open the passing game.
Well, yeah, for you, and like you touched on, Mercer County is a team that wants to run it first, and you really did a good job against them tonight, limiting them to just 49 yards rushing. Mason Gray, their lead back, I think entered tonight around 7.5 yards per carry. He gets just 7 yards on 11 carries. So you were really able to shut down the run game for the most part tonight. I think the quarterback Baldwin sprung a couple of big runs. But overall, defensively, I mean, what'd you see? Coach Matlick said with us when we talked with him after the game that the front you played was a little bit different than what he expected and then what he has seen on film. So what was it you changed up that you thought was going to work against Mercer County that ended up being able to stop them?
We've just been going back and forth between a 3 and a 4 front. And we did it last week against Orion. So we've kind of been putting them both out there depending on what we feel like is the best for that week. And we knew that watching film that Mercer County, like you talked about, wants to run first. And so we knew we needed to take care of that part of the game. And again, it's not only offensive line, it hasn't been talked about a lot defensively because, we've been playing defense okay, but the Ryan Lower injury on defense, who's a heck of an inside linebacker for us, has been starting since his freshman year, and that has even made us play musical chairs with D-line and linebackers trying to find the right fit and rotating guys. Sometimes we have a guy go from nose to linebacker to three tech to a D-end. So we're trying to find that right mix before we get into the playoffs, and we may end up playing multiple guys, and we have a lot of guys giving us some good reps and some good looks right now.
Well, I think when you look at this game, too, and you can maybe take it as either a positive or a negative or maybe a little bit of both. Now, your first two drives end in turnovers, or one of them you're going in to score a touchdown and turn it over inside the 5. You fumble it twice, and I know probably more penalties than you'd like, 8 for 65 yards, and kind of a lot of pre-snap type stuff on both sides of the ball. So I would still say probably not a completely clean game for you, but still to be able to beat Mercer County 34-6, got to be a pretty good sign, I would think. Like I said, both positive and negative, maybe with some of the issues you had tonight.
Yeah, I think, this has been our story all year. Last week we were 28-0 at half, score a touchdown the first minute, coming out of halftime is 35-0, and we don't get a running clock. Tonight we have a couple turnovers, multiple penalties. I mean, we kind of, chewed on the guys a little bit at halftime. Like, yeah, it might be okay tonight against Mercer County, but when we're in the playoffs in the second round, in the quarterfinals, when you're facing that competition, it'll cost you the game to be sloppy. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, and it's cyclical, and it's public school football, and one year you're going to be better than somebody. But this year I felt like at halftime, we could have had a running clock game at halftime. And it was just the feel of the game. And we felt like we let that many opportunities slip by. And we, that's something that has to be remedied that I think I've been saying all year. And again, it was blocking assignments. Now I know that's also on the coaching staff because we, like I said, we've been rotating so many offensive line combinations that guys haven't settled in. But we're looking for that right combination. But we need to see a little more disciplined play, locked in play, better communication. We've had some communication errors on the back end in the secondary and given some easy touchdowns through the air and otherwise a very good secondary. So, we just need to see things tightened up. But the overall message of the guys, though, on the field at the end of the game is, you celebrate. You deserve it. You won. It's a close matchup. We talked about it kind of when I saw you before the game. These are the type of games that it doesn't matter how much better you think you are than the opponent. It's going to be a closer game than you think because of the emotions and the ties to a rival and that kind of thing. So it's always going to be a closer game than you think it should be. And the first half was kind of that way. It played tight with turnovers and penalties and 0-0 for a long time. So, you know, again, kind of the same message is we still need to clean up those errors that are going to keep us from advancing in November.
All right, and you talk about, you know, cleaning up errors against a really solid opponent. Now, next week, of course, you get a test against a team who I think has a chance to make a pretty special run in the 3A postseason in Monmouth-Roseville, who is now 7-0 after winning again tonight. So when you look at the test you have with Monmouth-Roseville, a team that has had a ton of success running the ball, where you've done a nice job against the run, kind of maybe strength versus strength. When you look ahead to Monmouth-Roseville next week, another exciting game between two local rivals and kind of a measuring stick for you a couple of weeks before the playoffs.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those games, you know, you hate having it at the end. To me, I always want these at the beginning, kind of like it shows you where you need to improve and a measuring stick early. And if that way, if you get anybody nicked up, they have time to recover. I hate playing these, you know, drag out, you know, fist fight, tough physical games, week 8 or 9 going to the playoffs, and you get guys limping into the playoffs. But you know, we're excited for this game. It's always a good game. Again, Monmouth's one of those teams that, kind of like we talked about this Mercer County game, that it doesn't matter if Monmouth thinks they're a 21-point favorite or we think we're 21 points better. It's going to probably be within a touchdown for most of the game. You hope as a coach on our end. So, they're doing a great job. Jeremy gets a lot out of those kids. They're working really hard, and they've bought into that system and you know, off-season training and lifting. You can tell they got a strong line. And they're physical, and we're definitely going to have to bring our best game and cut out some of those errors that have been with us for 7 weeks now. And we're going to have to remedy some of those to put ourselves in a position to win next week.
All right, that should be a fun one between Rockridge and Monmouth-Roseville in week 8. But in week 7, 34-6, the final, Rockridge wins it over Mercer County. That's the head coach of the Rockets, Sam Graves, joining us. Coach, nice going in week 7. Congrats on winning the inaugural County Line Clash. You going to get a picture with the trophy?
No, you know, I didn't. I did see that we need to order a new plaque cover because there were two helmets on it and the Rockridge helmet was cracked. So I don't know if that was an error in the printing press or they dropped it or what. So we'll have to get that fixed. But, it was, again, something else that we kind of talked about a little bit ago. It's fun for the kids. You know, as a coach, we try to preach, hey, it's another game. It's another game. It doesn't mean anything more than anything else. But, you know, for those kids to be able to hoist that at the end of the game, whoever wins it, it just adds to the fun for them. And that's all it's about is, you know, making memories. So 20 years down the road, when 30 years, when their kids playing Mercer County or Rockridge, you know, they have those stories and hopefully those smiles and memories. So, you know, it just added to it, and it's fun for those guys. And we appreciate the people that put in the time to make that. That definitely wouldn't have been done that nice if it was on my plate.
Right. So a fun night tonight in week 7, Rockridge 34, Mercer County 6. Coach Graves, nice going, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
All right, and I'm Ty Taylor. We're back with more on WRMJ after this.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I buy him here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Who doesn't love new kicks? When you need new footwear, come to 6140 Run in Galesburg. They have just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Not sure? Grab a 6140 Run gift card. 6140 Run has the perfect fit for everyone. 6140 Run for the holidays, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
And welcome back to Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Talking now with head coach of the Churard Tigers, Brandon Johnson. Churard falls at home last night to Kewaunee, 48-6. So we'll start there, Coach. Just where do you think it got away from me? I think it was 19-0 at the end of the first quarter. So how was Kewaunee able to kind of pull away early last night, you think?
Yeah, it was. It was over pretty early, I thought. You know, honestly, I just didn't think our kids were prepared to play, and didn't think we had great effort in that whole first half, for the most part. So, you know, we had a, you know, kind of a heart to heart conversation there at halftime, I guess I'll call it. And, kids came out and played significantly better, and, a lot better effort and focus and intensity in that second half. But obviously it was too little too late at that time. So, pretty disappointing with how we started the game. I just didn't feel like we were ready to play. And, you know, as I told our kids on the field after the game, you know, that's a reflection on me and my staff as much as it is them too. So, you know, we're all in this together, and we certainly take some of the blame for that as well. But, at the same time, we got to have the kids that want to be out there, and, you know, they want to get better, and they want to work hard, and they want to do it from the opening kickoff. So, that was kind of the message at halftime. And again, the good news is I think we corrected that in the second half.
Well, you mentioned there, you know, not liking necessarily the effort you put out there in the first half. And that's something I want to maybe expand upon a little bit, because I know when in high school football, when you lose your fifth game, obviously you kind of know what that means, where you're likely going to be missing the postseason. So, you know, having the kids knowing that, okay, we have five losses, so basically we just have two regular season games left. How do you try to keep them engaged over the last 2 weeks, I guess, knowing that the playoffs aren't really a possibility for you anymore?
Yeah, you know, honestly, it's been so long that we've had that experience here. You know, I'm honestly not sure how much they even think about the playoffs and five losses and the significance of that. I think we talked earlier this week. It was something that we mentioned to our kids, I think this past Monday, just to, you know, kind of give a little historical perspective and something that they were capable of. But really didn't spend much time on it, I didn't think. And honestly, like I said, I'm just not sure, you know, if they kind of even grasp that idea of, you know, 5-4 versus 4-5 and stuff like that. But, you know, the good news is I think we got their attention at halftime, you know, and they responded when they very easily could have quit and folded. So, I hope that's a sign of things to come here in these last couple of weeks, because we did. We challenged them pretty good there at halftime, and they responded in a situation when, you know, the game was pretty well over at that point. I think it was 33-0 at halftime. So, again, hopefully that's a sign of what our kids will do here the next couple of weeks, as they'll continue to battle.
All right, and I think just kind of looking at the scoring summary from last night, on defense, he got hurt kind of both passing and with the rushing attack for Kewaunee too, of course. So defensively, I mean, what was it for them that you think they were doing so well that was allowing them to kind of, you know, have such a good night offensively?
Yeah, they got things rolling early against us. You know, there were a few times we were out of position and it cost us. You know, again, I think there was just kind of some focus and some effort plays that cost us. But, you know, more than anything, Kewaunee was just better than us. And, you know, sometimes that's going to happen too. So we certainly didn't help ourselves at all last night. We came into the game knowing we wanted to try to be +2, +3 in the turnover margin, and thought that was, you know, going to give us a shot against a pretty good team. And we just, you know, I don't even know what that ended up, differential ended up being, but I'm sure it wasn't anywhere near what we needed it to be. So, you know, they came out and executed, and you know, that's a pretty good team. And that running back's a, you know, he's a horse, and when they feed him the ball, we just, you know, we didn't consistently get him to the ground. And they had other pieces of the puzzle around him too. I thought that was a pretty solid football team.
Right, well, one positive from last night, I think, is, you know, 2 weeks ago when we talked, we were worried that Carter Brown was going to be out for the season with a broken leg potentially, and he misses just one game, comes back, and plays last night. So how did he look in his return from the leg injury he suffered a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, he made some pretty massive strides, I thought, throughout this past week. There was some pretty serious concern that you know, maybe we didn't have the answer yet. Maybe there was something else going on there, just because it was a very slow process. But I would say from like Monday to Wednesday, a lot of us just couldn't believe how different he looked from Monday to Wednesday. And then he looked even better Thursday and was fine for the most part last night. He's still a little dinged up, but we had the plan of going into the game, at least, at just playing him on offense and then kind of see how it goes and see if we need him or use him defensively. And he ended up playing defensively most of the game. We pulled him late. The game was out of hand. I don't know if he played most of the fourth quarter, but he did all right. And I think we finally, hopefully, knock on wood, are getting the corner turned with that kid.
All right. And looking ahead to next week, I know you have a chance to play Orion, which, you know, when we talk preseason and throughout the year too, you've always said that, you know, the games we want to have on our schedule more than the other games are against, you know, Rock Ridge, Orion, and Mercer County. So you have a chance with one of those games. I know both teams, in terms of win losses this season, maybe hasn't gone how each team has wanted. But I mean, I think this game between Sherrard and Orion always has a lot of meaning. I think that definitely is still the case in 2024. Is that what it feels like for you too?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so for our kids and our communities. It's always fun, I think, to play those local rivals in any sport and you know, football especially. But I think it's any sport when you got a chance to compete against those local rivals. You know, some of these kids know each other and some of them hang out on the weekends and stuff like that together. But, when you put on your school uniform and go out and compete against those local teams like that, I think, at least in my mind, it adds a little extra something to the meaning of the game. So, like you said, both teams have struggled this year, but I think it'll be a good matchup and should hopefully be an exciting game for us next week.
All right, and then just a brief look ahead at them. Do you have much of a scout? Have you seen much of Orion yet this year? I mean, what do you know about them coming into the preparation week here?
Yeah, they're going to throw the ball and they're going to do it a lot, and they're pretty darn good at it. Coach Filler's son, Cale, I think is his first name. He's a darn good quarterback. He's started, I think, every game since his freshman year and keeps getting better and better. And I know that kid puts in a lot of work, and he's having a really good season once again. And obviously they're down on numbers, even more so, I think, than we are. But, that's for sure the first thing and the emphasis this week in practice is going to be try to find ways to slow down their passing game, because they're really darn good at it, and they'll be able to score points in a hurry. So, that's going to be our number one focus, I think, this week.
All right. That's head coach of the Sherrard Tigers, Brandon Johnson, joining us. Tigers fall in week 7 to Kewaunee 48-6, looking ahead to a matchup with Orion in week 8. Coach Johnson, thanks. Appreciate you talking with us this morning, and we'll talk to you later in the week.
Sounds good. Thank you, Ty.
And I'm Ty Taylor. We're back with more on WRMJ after this.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham. Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Who doesn't love new kicks? When you need new footwear, come to 6140 Run in Galesburg. They have just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Not sure? Grab a 6140 Run gift card. 6140 Run has the perfect fit for everyone. 6140 Run for the holidays, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
And welcome back to Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're talking now with the head coach of the Orient Chargers, Chip Filler. Chargers fall 32-28 to Erie Prophetstown, coming up just 4 yards shy of completing a three-score comeback. So I guess we'll start there, Coach Filler. Fourth and goal from the four, down by 4 points in the final 11 seconds, aren't able to get into the end zone. So just walk us through what you were trying to do on the last play to spring an upset, and what I guess kind of went wrong on the play.
Well, we're trying to get a lot of options, so make them defend the whole field, or that half anyway. So we came out in a bunch of look, real tight, had Jake Owen and Jackson Pierre in the bunch. So it's basically, for anybody that knows old school football, it was basically a sprint right option that the 49ers ran, or they used to run all the time. And so Owen would run to the flats, and Jake was all the way on the outside, and he just kind of, we're trying to get him lost in the back of the end zone, kind of like Dwight Clark kind of deal. And then, Jackson's the third option. But on top of that, we give option to Kale to get out of the pocket, and we're only 4 yards away. So try to put a lot of stress on that defense, like having to cover a possible run situation, a back line, and then a guy at the front pylon. We have protection issue in the middle there, so the throw got rushed a little bit. He didn't quite get all the way to the outside. Still made a pretty decent throw, but it had been a tough catch by Owen. This kind of slipped through his hands at the pylon. They had it well covered. They had it well defense. I think that if we could have got Kale out more, if he could have hit the edge, it would have really messed him up. But the throw had to come out a little bit before we were ready to throw it. And then that's kind of the story of our year. Fight all the way back and get a great comeback and have a chance to win it at the end. And then little things that just kind of come up to bite us. Like, it's so hard in high school football. And I think it's hard in football. This is what makes this sport great, is to get all 11 to do their job on every single play. I mean, you can have it where you drop the greatest play in the world and you get the greatest athletes, but if only 10 of them or 9 of them do what they're asked to do, the play stinks, or it doesn't work for you. So, it was just there, but it's just, we're a young team, and if we'd have won this game last night with the way we came back, I would be confident to say we'd be back on the map again, because I think that was going to be the one that our young kids could now see that, hey, all the hard work they're putting in is now paying off. We've got it going. But 4 yards short, and we'll go back to the drawing board next week and see what we can get with Sherrard.
All right, and just like you said, it feels like kind of the theme has been with your kids, you've dug yourself into a hole, and then you fight back every time, where, again, like you said, it's got to be really frustrating, for you, obviously, but for the kids, too, where you're getting so close to turning these into wins. But just, I know another night last night where I'd assume for you and your staff, really proud of your 22, 23 kids down 26-7 in the third quarter and rallying to have a chance to win it on the game's final play. So just a little bit about the effort and kind of the never quit that your kids show.
Oh, man. I mean, this is so great, Ty. What we've kind of like, the whole narrative, there's 22 kids over here. Oh, my gosh. And, are we going to have football? All this is crazy. Which, you do have to have numbers. It is a numbers game.
that I'm looking in the middle of the third quarter or start of the fourth quarter, and we are on our comeback. And they, on the other side, Erie Province Sound, who Tyler does a great job getting his kids out and really hitting the hallways. They have 60 kids on the other side of their field. And I know they don't dress all 60 because it's fresh off guys. So there's probably 35 or 40 dudes sitting there staring across at our massive 22, right? They are on a knee. Their helmets are off during – we had an injury timeout. And they couldn't catch their breath. Our guys standing there with their helmets on, like, let's go. Get off the field so we can get back to work. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, everybody wants these 90 kids or these 60 kids. Like, if you can't see, look in this visual that these 11 of theirs are on their knees, bent over, grasping for air, hoping that the clock will just run out and we won't have enough points. And our guys are standing over there going, God, can we just play? Give me two more minutes because we're ready to go. Now, unfortunately, we don't come out ready to go all the time, but it explodes my heart. I'm just so thrilled. It's like the biggest middle finger in the world. It's like, look at you. This is what we got, and this is what they're doing. Like, you should be in this community. I know it is, and these people that really know Orion football, and not the naysayers, and not the people that want to talk and behind the scenes. If they really get and look at these kids and what they've done. Like, it doesn't matter if they win a game. It doesn't matter about it. It's amazing what they're going through and what they're doing. Sorry, I knew I was going to go on this rant. But man, it's like, I'm so proud of my kids. Like, seriously, like, to look at them and just to buy into everything that we tell them to do. And you know, even if it doesn't work out, maybe we come up 4 points short, maybe come up a couple points short. The fight, the resilience. I mean, it's a poetic season without any win, you know, with not very many wins, I guess. And but that doesn't even matter to me. I think this is a great season for Orion, and just in how you know you can fight, you know. And if they can do this in their lives outside of football, which I know they will, this is. I mean, I'm going to send 22 young men into the workforce and into being dads and fathers, and they're going to be great people at that.
All right, and looking ahead to next week, I know Coach Filler, I talked about this with Coach Johnston too. Orion and Sherrard is a game that I think always has meaning, and the teams played a great game last year, where even where both maybe in terms of wins, losses, hasn't gone the way both teams have wanted this season. I think next week is a good opportunity for both teams, so just a little bit about going into the matchup with Sherrard next week on your side, trying to get a little bit of revenge from that game last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's really about what we're going to be talking about. You know, we've kind of let that one get away too, and that one stings with us. But I mean, they're kind of an anomaly. I mean, we've seen them a few times, and they're doing different things. And the Brown kid's playing quarterback, and now you know he's banged up and injured, and they're still playing decent football even with him being out. I don't know what the injury report is. You know, on him or what anybody's speculating. I think he's playing, and I'm not going to listen to anybody tell me that he's not playing. So we're going to prepare for that, and we know he's a super talented kid. And you know, we haven't really taken time to look at their film. I mean, we have one of them on Mirko, and then we'll dive into that today, the other two films. But yeah, it's going to be we need to get this. Hey, you're 10 miles away. This to us is, you know, a bigger rivalry, at least in my opinion, than anybody else because of the proximity and how we co-op for a sport and that. So, I mean, as much as I, you know, Rock Ridge and Orion have that fight, to me, you know, it's about Orion and Sherrard. When I was going through school, the great Eric Lawson, I think I said this on the radio last night, in that group, they were our class, and we had some great battles in basketball, but football, they really laid it to us. So it's kind of stuck in my craw, I guess, for 30 years. So I can't get over that. So every time we play him, that's what I look at, trying to get back at that. So, and Eric and I are good friends, but I think he understands.
All right, and just real quickly, I know today, Coach Filler, you're talking with us early in the morning, and I think you and Cale have a pretty exciting day. You were telling me Cale's got a visit to the University of Illinois, so you're going to hit the road to head to Champaign for the game with Illinois and Purdue. And like we were talking, it's kind of a perfect matchup for you today because you got to play in Prophetstown last night, which, of course, is the hometown of Brett Bielema, the head coach of the Illini. So I know that's got to be a really cool feeling for you, both as a coach and a dad, having your kid have a visit to Illinois today. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, they started showing some interest in summer, and you know, I don't know, you know, it's a little early in all the process, but it's a, you know, it's a great experience for him. I did mention that to coach. I said, you know, hey, ironically, I'm going to be, we play Provincetown the night before. I don't know if you're going to be really upset with him or if you're going to be okay when you let him through the door. So I think he'll be all right now considering what happened last night. But yeah, it's a really good deal. When we went on the tour with Logan, the Lee family was gracious enough to take Cale everywhere with us. He got to go to the Big House. He went to Iowa. He went to Wisconsin. He did not get to go to Illinois. So he's like, this is really neat. You know, this has kind of come full circle. I've already seen the Big Ten, and now this is, you know, this is one of the last ones I wanted to see. So it's fun, and we'll see what comes out of it. But, you know, if nothing happens, if it's just a visit, and like kind of what we're considering it, all his hard work from behind the scenes and everything he does, it kind of validates it a little bit. Like, he has a Big Ten team, or he has his home state team that actually is interested and gives him the acknowledgement that, man, you are a really good football player around us, around the area, and we'd like to take a look at it. I'd like to come meet you. And I think we got a lot of those dudes on our team. I know our record doesn't show that, but so it's going to be a neat trip, and, you know, we're excited to go see him, and, you know, go Illini, I guess. I don't say that very often. I was told by my coworker, who's a big Illinois fan, she said, do not wear your Iowa stuff. Like, oh, I know. So decked out in orange again today. So
awesome. The red and black. Great, man. So, all right, Coach Filler, thanks for talking with us, man. And I hope you and Cale have a fun time down in Champaign today.
I appreciate it, Ty. Thanks. Hey, thanks again for all you guys do. I mean, you guys do a great job of covering us. So I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, Coach. And we're back with more on WRMJ after this.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it, because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Who doesn't love new kicks? When you need new footwear, come to 6140 Run in Galesburg. They have just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Not sure? Grab a 6140 Run gift card. 6140 Run has the perfect fit for everyone. 6140 Run for the holidays, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, back on Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. The Colonel is selling a good old-fashioned live estate auction this morning, just a short distance north of New Boston. And should I make people do the homework? We should have a quiz, like, and give something away. Do you know why we're referencing Colonel and auctioneers and what that means?
Were you listening at the beginning? Yeah, an hour and a half ago.
All right. So, man, a lot of text here during, like, the break. Text exchange. Oh, by the way, always great to hear from Coach Breeden, and Coach Breeden says he has a story to tell about the 1964 Rockford-Auburn Aledo basketball.
We'll have
game.
To have him on maybe sometime this year, and then
we'll do a Christmas show with him and Coach
Cook
again.
Oh, that'll be great. Yeah, and we'll then also, I want to,
and then
make
they can
sure,
cry in the hallway like they always do when they get done.
I want to make sure, and then they're here for 6 hours after.
Yeah, I gotta go, man.
But I think that we need to have Katie Hassan on for an hour sometime this
year.
Oh
yeah, we'll do
retiring.
That. Before. We'll do that the last maybe the last week.
I know Monty
show.
Said some really nice things about her last night when she came up and got the trophy to take it down the field. So you know, I said this too. She's been one of the best people, you know, ever in terms of promoting not just athletics in high schools, but just, you know, the youth with her work at Rockridge, of course, as the principal, but then with the IHSA board and everything. So she'll be sorely missed everywhere around the state when she retires. But, you know, we've been really lucky that she's been the principal at one of the schools we cover.
And speaking of Katie Hassan, I love the reference that Monty Smith made last night about Coach Hassan and the swinging gate when they set that up.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And
I
it was like
a
Rock Ridge is running it. And it's funny because like yesterday I had to do something for the RFD radio network, and I was in Henry County and I stopped by Cambridge and I was at a combine bar and restaurant. I was eating lunch there, and there was Friday afternoons, their big crowd. And some way, somehow, I started talking about Tom Hassan with some dude that was in there because the guy was a basketball referee. And then he was talking about what a great player that Katie was at Cambridge, a basketball player who I think played at Augustana. But anyway, when you lead the board that oversees interscholastic athletics in the state and you do it for multiple years, that's a pretty impressive thing on your resume.
And she does it the right way, is in it for the right reasons. Like everybody we work with, the administrators at all the schools, you know, we cover, you know, you talk about, you know, Nathan DeBailey and Ashley Dorian our friends at Sherrard, and then what is that, Tim Wernington, right?
Yeah.
The principal.
And then AD of the year, Dustin Murray. Brian Dennison, AD of the year.
Murray at Mercer County, Mrs. Cooper, Lisa Emmendorfer at Sherrard. You know, I mean, everybody that we work with is great.
And Brock Boehner.
Yep, and Brock Boehner, I forgot to mention him.
And I was fortunate back in the heyday of the Olympic Conference. Brock Boehner was a great player in every sport he played, basketball and football. And the Bombers were always fun to cover back in that era.
And all the great assistant principals, right? Alex Johnson and Daphne Graves. And, everyone that we work with in terms of, like, administration is just, you know, we're really lucky because they all do great work and they all treat us so well. So
we're
always very thankful for all of them.
But so I want to hear what Coach Breeden, who's a longtime wrestling coach, I want to hear what he has to say about this. He wanted to tell the story about the 1964 basketball game with Rockford Auburn, and I'm not kidding you when I say this.
Maybe we'll have him on during the basketball season sometime. That we'll tease ahead a few months, maybe.
But he's so anyway. Getting back to, because I really want you to learn about this story.
Yeah.
So, Kurt Gibson, who retired from the IHSA this past year, now he's still on like as a quasi consultant overseeing some officiating stuff, but he said one of the biggest files the IHSA has in its history is that file involving Rockford, Auburn, and Aledo.
Okay.
So anyway.
We can talk. No one cares about that.
Yes,
right
they
now.
Do. There's a Jim Riddle down the street here. He played on the 1964
team.
Well,
we can talk about that maybe more in basketball season because
it's not basketball season. Which is
right
2 weeks from today. Right. 2 weeks from Monday, right?
But hopefully we're covering football into November. So. But, you know, when you look ahead to next week, I think for us at least, there's, I think, a lot of intrigue in the Mercer County-Princeton game just because of what, you know, the result will represent for Mercer County. I think the Golden Eagles should be fine to get a win in Week 9 against a Mendota program that's really struggled. But, you know, if they lose on Friday against Princeton, I mean, it's going to be the first time in 28 years that Mercer County hasn't played in the playoffs. And, I mean, that's like older than me. I'm 26. So my entire life, you know, growing up in this community, now living here as an adult too, there's always been at least one, you know, Saturday in the fall that's a playoff game. And, you know, it'll be really strange if that ends up not happening this year. So a lot of interest in that, of course. And it's like we touched on earlier, going to be a very tall task against Princeton. I think the game of the area, though, next week, you know, we're not going to count Byron versus Dixon in our area, but is Rockridge Monmouth Roseville. I think that'll be a great game. Jim Ross would call a slobber knocker, right? That'll be a great – I think that's going to be a really fun matchup. I can't wait to see what the result of that game is. You and Coach Cook are lucky. You get to make the trip to Monmouth to cover that one. And then, We have, Orion and Chouinard, which will be a compelling game, too. It always is between those programs. So I think we've got three pretty interesting games. I don't want to necessarily say fun, but interesting for sure.
What did Chip Filler say again about Eric Lawson?
Great Eric Lawson. Yeah, that's what he always called him because they were the same age.
That was a great era back then.
And he said,
Eric Lawson was a great quarterback at Girard. You know him for basketball, but man, was he a good quarterback.
Coach Filler said, boy, they laid into us in football in those years. So,
TJ Harkey and Eric Hutchins was such a great player. And that was a good era for Girard football.
Yeah, and Eric Hutchins will be on the call next week for that matchup between the Tigers and the Chargers again. They played a classic game last year that came down to the wire that Girard scored. In the final, 10, I think maybe it was final 11 seconds to take the lead in that game. So should be a fun one next week. And that one, no playoff implications really, but, local rivalries always
matter. And then who does Girard have in week 9?
Riverdale.
See, that will be an intriguing game.
Well, Riverdale has all this week.
Well, but I'm saying if Girard is all healthy and they get some kids back and they're trying to punch their ticket, that would be their fifth win,
right? Riverdale.
Yeah, but Girard playing Riverdale week 9. So if Girard gets – they do have the potential to get some more kids
They've
back?
They've got a couple linemen they think that could be back this week. They should be as – I mean, I think in week 9 they'll finally have all their guys.
Now, that will be an intriguing game.
Yeah.
If Riverdale's trying to get to the playoffs and that they have to secure that fifth win.
Boy, that would be a great crowd over there for that, though, at Riverdale.
Yeah, the games I've done over there, regardless, they've had a great
And I saw follow. Some pictures from their homecoming game last week against Erie Provost. They won. Holy cow, the crowd at that game. Oh, my gosh. And I guess I think they play soccer. They do a soccer-football doubleheader on homecoming there, so that probably adds to it a little bit, but... Yeah, it was a great crowd with that game last week. And, looking forward to next week. Should be another fun week. Already, 2 weeks of the regular season left. Unbelievable how fast it goes. That's what we were talking about on View from the West last night. That's what Randazzo said. He's like, man, it just goes so fast every year, it feels like. And I feel that this year, man. It feels like we were just getting ready for the Eagles and the Titans, and all of a sudden it's week 8 now.
All right, and a couple of other shout-outs I want to mention. Elsie Cook. Playing at the state tournament next weekend, right? Redtail Run in Decatur.
And the Rockridge girls are playing as a team. And I talked to Daphne last night. She congratulated her. They're taking the team down this week to state locally on the boys' side of things. Jacob Fratsky at Girard. And then our friends in Port Byron are going to be trying to win.
They're one of the favorites to win it all.
They're going to be trying to win a state title. So best of luck to Riverdale. Trying to win a state championship in boys golf this week. Hopefully they can do it. They are really impressive, and they won the sectional over Rockford Lutheran, who I think is one of their challengers for the state championship. So, they should definitely advance to the second day. And then I know last year they lost by, I think, 8 strokes to the state champion. So good luck to the Riverdale Rams at the state golf meet. A real chance to win a state championship, which would be really cool.
Well, and the way they've been playing this year, they have to be one of are they the favorite or not?
I don't know. I haven't looked yet, but I would assume they're in the top 2 or 3 at least. So,
all right, good luck to all those local kids. Hard to believe the fall sports season winding down again. 2 weeks from Monday is the first official day of girls high school basketball practice and the beginning of the winter sports season already.
Yep. So, all right, real quick, just you looking forward to that Rockridge Monmouth Roseville
game?
That should be fun. That's a classic. That's just a classic rivalry, too. It should be a lot of fun.
Always.
And, of course, Coach Adolphson coached at Rockridge for a little bit, too. Yeah.
And, of course, a kid that grew up here in Aledo and played at a great era and always a great guy to work with. Love being and that's always been a good rivalry in all sports, Rockridge and Monmouth and now Rockridge and Monmouth Roseville. So that should be a great game. And, like you mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, they got 2 huge games to end the regular
really
season.
Really physical games,
because
they're
going
to play.
Newman in week 9, and they got the Rockets, of course, in week 8. But that's a perfect – for what they're up against in the 3A bracket, they need that schedule to be that way to end regular season play with what – kind of lays ahead for them in the 3A playoffs.
Yep. So, yeah, should be a fun one next week. And then, like I said, a lot of intrigue with Mercer County and Princeton, just kind of what that game represents for the Golden Eagles. So I'll be there with Monty and Rusty Dunn up in Princeton. You'll be in Monmouth, and then Eric Hutchins will be that game would be at Girard this year. So Girard will be hosting it, so he'll be at home at Clifford King Field. So those are our games next week. on week 8 of the high school football season. Thanks to everyone who was listening this morning, listened last night, and throughout the season too. A lot of people checked in with our Mercer County Rock Ridge broadcast last night. And again, that's maybe how we should end it, to just bring the show full circle. Absolutely awesome. We're so happy all the kids got to experience that last night, whether it be, you know, the kids on the football team, the cheerleaders for both sides, the Rock Ridge dance team, which is, they are so good. Well, another great performance from them last night. The Rock Ridge band, Mercer County brought some drummers over last night. It felt like almost a college game because of everything that was around it, with just the atmosphere. So it was really fun, and that's going to be a game that is circled on the calendar every year, circled on the schedule every year when the teams play. So Rock Ridge needs to answer the bell and bring a drum line over to Mercer County next year then, too.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
and they'll have the trophy with them because they won it. All right. Well, again, week 7, we wrap up and we look toward week 8, again from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio. And again, I want to better read this liner one more time about – You have anything else to say, Ty?
Just Illini football. Illinois was off last week with a bye week, but Illinois back at home tonight hosting Purdue. A 2:30 kickoff. Our pregame coverage from the Fighting Illini Sports Network starts at 1:30. I believe that's the Busey Bank Fighting Illini Sports Network, right? And hopefully the Illini win it for Cale Fuller, who's on a visit down to Illinois today, which again is really cool. I know we've mentioned that a few times, but really, really cool.
So. All right. And just I want to say, downtown Aledo, a bunch going on with this Right 17 Festival. Stop by. And I want to say, Adam Vipond, Midtown Burger Club, they have the Trashy Hashies. Get that if you're in downtown Aledo today.
They're open
excellent.
On Saturday.
That's
they
right.
Had breakfast.
Love it,
I
man.
Think I saw he's open till 2.
Some
so
good
that's
music
a,
downtown Aledo,
yep,
too.
Yep.
All right. And again, the Colonel. Can I say this?
Yep,
the Colonel is selling good old-fashioned live
Jones.
Estate auction this morning, just a short distance north of New Boston. Nope, I'm never going to call him Dale Jones ever again. I'm going to call
Colonel.
Him Colonel. All right. That's Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios for Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor, WRMJ Sports.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business. By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.